for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Matthew Tosh.
And I'm Tara Fraser. And today on the show is Eurovision.
Yes, he may be known for Bristol Pride. He's actually a massive Eurovision fan. Darren Carter is going to be joining us in the studio.
It's your Eurovision special.
A special, yes. All in the next hour, right here on Shout Out. Tara, I'm wondering, should we be doing this in one of the official... Well, we're doing it in one of the official languages, aren't we?
For yeah, you? It's the only one I know, unfortunately. Well, a little bit of German. I'm too British. That's the problem. I'm too British. I won't talk louder, though. I promise.
It's not just about me and you, though. We do have the team here, and Steffi and Ivan are with us tonight.
I thought you were bilingual, Tara.
I know a little... Well, there's a bit of Scottish there, I guess.
There you go.
Off Ivan,
new. New points, so Tara. New points.
we should give points for people's contributions.
There we go. Exciting.
Someone did challenge me to do the introduction in French earlier, and I wasn't sure whether I should do that or not.
Well, you can do it again. Go
you think
on.
I should?
Yes.
Shout out.
Do we need the music? Or should
just get on with it.
Okay, right, here we go. Bonsoir et bienvenue. Merci d'être avec nous, avec Chat Radio, avec Matthew Tosh et Tara Fraser. C'est bientôt parti. Le grand concours de chansons européennes se déroulera ce week-end, c'est-à-dire Eurovision. Et on discutera l'histoire du concours avec Darren Carter. Bien sûr, nous connaissons Darren grâce à Bristol Pride. Tout ça, tout de suite, sur Chat Out.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, the Brexiteers are just going to kill you.
They are.
They're at the door.
Please do not adjust your wireless sets or listening devices. Ivan, you've been to the theatre this week, haven't you?
Yes. Are we talking about that right now? So I went to see a play called Foreplay. That's spelled F-O-U-R, by the way.
Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah, and it's a four-hander as well, four characters, about two couples. It's on at the Wardrobe Theatre at the moment, and it's about how they interact. And one of the couples, basically, they happen to be same-sex couples, but this could actually apply to any sets of couples, really, regardless of sexuality, gender, etc. And one of the couples have been, long-time sweethearts. They've been together for a whole 7.5 years, and, they decided they want to spice up their relationship a little bit. So they've approached one half of another open couple in an open relationship, and that's how the story moves. And it's absolutely brilliant piece of comedy. Absolutely brilliant. Loved it. It's part of the Bristol Old Vic Theatre School's series of director's cuts, and they're all contemporary plays that are being put on. It's only 90 minutes, by the way. It's on until Saturday. It's by Jake Brunger and directed by Liam Blame, and it is a really good piece of entertainment. I couldn't recommend it more. Opening night was sold out. Last night was sold out, and it's on until Saturday.
And that's the link, isn't it? Because as I understand it, it's the directors that have come from the theatre school.
That's right, and also the actors as well. I think they've graduates from the Bristol Old Vic Theatre School as well. Yes, so I get my teeth in. It's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it, really? But they are superb. The other thing that I don't know whether to mention this or not, but I went through the play, and I heard one of my fellow broadcaster, Martin Spalacy, done an interview with one of the directors and the play participants, and all of the four actors are actually straight. But they play those parts so well, you would not know that. And that's the mark of a true actor.
Exactly. I couldn't. I was going to say that. It doesn't really matter what their sexuality
is. And I know there's a lot of debate about whether, you know, straight people should play gay people, whether trans people should play, you know, non-trans people, etc. So, you know, there is a debate about that. But as far as I'm concerned, if you can act and if you can pull it off and you're convincing, then it's all good to me.
And it was really good to watch then.
And it was very good to watch. It was very funny. There were some poignant moments. There was one reference to reading a Kindle in bed, and I just thought, well, that's me.
And my husband was next to me, and I just got an eye roll. Yeah, there were lots of elbowing going on during that thing.
A knowing look.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's Foreplay. It's on at the Wardrobe Theatre this week in the Old Market Assembly.
Yep.
Tickets are £10, and as you said, it runs until Saturday, the 12th of May.
Grab your tickets, because I think it's going to be very, very popular indeed.
So something to do if you don't like Eurovision. No, I should say that.
Oh, Matthew, wash your mouth out.
Quick, change the subject.
Thank you to Fiona Hackett today. There was a large conference in Bristol for well-being and dementia. It was carers and professionals, and they invited Shout Out along to run the panel. So I went down there to run the panel. So thank you to them. It was very worthwhile, and I hope we got some good points across from the fears of the LGBTQ community that had to go through the NHS service, and especially from the dementia point of view, especially if you know a family member who's gone through it yourself. You'll know how scary that is, and it's even more scary if you're trans.
Yeah, it's about not forgetting people as well. We're real people.
It is.
Yeah.
And the point of it, Steph, was basically you were kind of educating NHS staff about how trans and other people can feel going into care or being, you know, looked after in the system, and what their fears are. And those staff members may not realise that what those fears actually are.
Yeah, exactly. And the whole panel were made up of people that associate themselves or identify as LGBTQ+.
Thank you, Steffi, and thank you, Ivan, for that. It's fast approaching the time of the week when we do our My Five, and he's not here this week in person, but he is here to do his My Five. It's Andy's take this week. My Five on Shout Out.
Hello, I'm Andy Shilton, and this week, as I'm not presenting the show, we thought it'd be an ideal time for me to have a go at presenting my own My Five. And this week, I'm talking about boxes. Now, I don't mean the cardboard type. I mean those categorisations that we seem to like to just put people in all the time. Now, I'm coming at this from a perspective of a gay man, because that's what I am. But I do know that the same does exist across kind of, well, all sectors of society in one way or another. Now, I would originally say I think my first box I came across was when someone referred to me as a chicken. And it was something that happened shortly after I came out. These days, you're more likely to hear the term twink, as it's far more common. But as I found out later, chicken very much did refer to my age. I was 18, it was 1996. The legal age of consent had just dropped from 21 to 18, so I literally was one of about three or four people I knew who, at the time, had come out and was on the so-called gay scene, as we called it back then. Given the drop in legal age, I really was young compared to most people, because, well, most people were at least 25 or older, because there was still a big fear about coming out, even in 1996. It was the first so-called box I became aware of at the time. Of course, looking back, I'd already been in quite a few, I just hadn't really realised. Student, teenager, to name a couple. And I'm sure my parents even referred to things such as the terrible twos, referring to how hard work I was as a two-year-old. Of course, I'd also come out, so you could even say gay was one of the boxes I was in. Although even to this day, whether that's a box or a categorisation or what is still a matter of opinion. But as I grew up, I did, of course, come across quite a few more boxes. I think probably the next one was Leathermen. Back then, there was a pub called The Griffin, and it was, well, one that teenagers should avoid because of the old Leathermen. Of course, it wasn't really true. My view was not based on reality. It was, like a lot of gay things back then, quite skewed by scenes from films such as Police Academy and It's Oyster Club, as an example. Yes, I was very naive back then, but it wasn't like anyone could really tell you about these things. It wasn't taught in schools, and you just kind of had to learn as you went. Anyway, as the years went on, I started to realise there were more and more of these boxes, as I was calling them. I remember some of my lesbian friends talking about lipstick lesbians and diesel dykes. When I asked what their meanings were, the answer came back that lipstick lesbians were those that, well, typically were more feminine, with longer hair and who wore makeup, and, to quote, tended to pass as straight. sadly, trying to pass as straight was a theme that a lot of people aspire to at the time, including myself, although I was still very proud to be gay. While diesel dykes were rougher, and again, and I quote, tended to be classed as butcher lesbians. I do actually remember knowing quite a few of them, and at the meagre age of 19, being a little bit on the intimidated side at times. By the time, though, both sets of people did seem very happy with their label, as most people did with whatever boxes there were around at the time. Certainly being a chicken was the in thing. But I was never quite sure of their purpose. Yes, it was great being young and being called a chicken. It gave me a great sense of youth and attractiveness. Of course, while I was aware of these boxes, they never really bothered me. I never really cared too much about them, probably until about my late 20s, early 30s. At that time, I'd been surrounded by all those images of body fit men. You know, that stereotypical smooth-bodied six-pack, totally gym-fit bunch of guys that adorned every advert and magazine cover and gay men's website at the time. Still do quite a lot to this day. I wasn't one of those, though. I have a hairy chest, I had little interest in hitting the gym, and I love partying with my mates. That was kind of the whole point of life back then. But while I didn't realise it at the time, that hidden pressure did actually hit my mind a lot. I was a hell of a lot thinner than I am now, but I do remember being really paranoid about things like my weight and how I looked and how hairy my chest was and what I wore. Then, with the opening of a certain bar in Bristol, and I will name it, the Bristol Bear Bar, I became aware of a box that was a retaliation to all that, namely the bear. I was kind of a cub back then, but now I guess I'd well and truly fit into the box of the bear. It was a retaliation of gay men that said, no, we don't want to be fit and smooth, we are who we are. Nowadays, of course, the bear community is huge and thriving, with bear events held all over the world. Even here in Bristol, we have two annual events, the Bear Fiesta in the summer, and of course, Southern Hibernation, notice the nice twist there, which happens in the winter here in Bristol. So successful has it been that it spawned even more boxes. Otter, a man who is thin or athletic and very hairy. A wolf, again, lean and muscular and semi-hairy. Cub, which I mentioned before, is a young, hairy guy, usually slightly larger than average build. And just in case you weren't aware of what makes you a bear, well, if you are a bigger guy, and usually one who's hairy, then you fit pretty well into that box. Of course, there are tons and tons more boxes. There's chub, bull, twink, jock, gym rat. There's even a twunk, believe it or not. But of course, the big question is, do we need them? If we didn't, for example, have Jim Bunny, would we have a need for bears? Or do we just like them so that we feel part of a group? I'm sure all of you out there listening will have your own opinion, just as much as I'm sure some of you would disagree with my views. It's one of the things that I love about our world. We are all unique. For me personally, those boxes have done a lot, from feeling unique and special, to feeling normal and fine the way I am, to being part of something really big. So my experience has been a good one. But how about yours? Get in touch with us here at Shoutout if you'd like 5 minutes on air to talk about it and tell us your thoughts. But for now, though, thank you for listening.
If you have a story you could tell in 5 minutes, get in contact. Visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout out. LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Ooh, I'm liking that. Sound of Silence. That's Damien from last year's Eurovision competition. And that was the song supplied by Australia. And already conversations have started about that because I am joined in the studio. We are joined in the studio, of course, by Darren Carter, who's flashing at the moment. Could you explain to listeners why you're flashing?
Yeah, I'm wearing my badge, which is a flashing badge, actually, from Eurovision in 2016 from Sweden.
Ah.
And if anyone remembers watching that contest, it was absolutely incredible. We all got given one of these to wear. And during each song set, they kind of made them change colour. And they displayed flags in the audience and everything. It was really amazing.
So you essentially became part of the lighting display.
Basically, yeah.
It's so amazing stuff.
Yeah, really, really technology. For Eurovision has really come on a long way, so it's great to be part of it.
It's not just about the music. I think you've touched on something there. It's a spectacle, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And year on year, we're seeing, you know, better staging, better lighting. You know, we've started to see interactive walls and videos for the music and songs now, so you're going to see a lot more of that on Saturday.
I just want to, just before we get too engrossed in that, just to take us back, because this has actually been going for quite some time. The first contest took place back in 1956. It's always been in May, hasn't it?
It has, yeah.
1956, with seven nations took part. I was looking for I did have the list of the nations. Can anyone help me there? The list of the nations that took part in the first
probably
one?
Probably the big five.
So it was the big five.
Italy, Spain, England, Germany.
I don't think we took part in the first one. I think we got involved in the second one.
Yeah, probably. Always late to the party.
That sounds like Britain, doesn't it?
Disgust. So, yeah, it's not surprising that technologies have moved on. So it sort of came out of this Italian sort of celebration of music, and it's morphed into what we've got today.
Mm.
So what draws you to it? What do you like about it, Darren?
I just really love it. I think it's just a great opportunity to kind of get countries together, to hear different music that's going on. You know, it is totally camp, which is always great to see and be part of. But there's always some shocks in there. You know, we kind of looked at some of the songs that are being produced by different countries, and you're thinking, God, we must be really behind the game of what the rest of Europe are listening to. You know, there's always lots of rock music out there. And so, yeah, that's, I always find that really interesting to kind of see what finger on the pulse of what other countries are putting out.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And you've been watching this year's heats so far. The semi-finals, of course, are taking place. Well, one of them's taking place tonight, isn't it?
Yep. So we had the first semi-final was on Tuesday. That's already happened, and there's another one tonight. So we'll be getting home to catch that. So
what happens then before the semi-finals? I mean, do all countries? Well, presumably all countries don't get through to semi-finals. So how are they whittled down?
No, I think everyone kind of puts their song forward, they're quite long shows, the semi-finals. So we had just over 20 countries on Tuesday, and only 10 went through. I think everyone gets through to the semis, and then on forward from there. So
then it starts getting tough.
Well, I think the semis are tough to get through. You know, there was some big shocks. Tuesday, Azerbaijan didn't get through for the first time in forever.
So does that mean everyone goes into the semi-finals?
Yeah.
So even Britain's in there?
No, so there's what we call the big five, which I touched on earlier, and those are kind of some of the founding countries, or really the countries that put the most money in, and they always get automatically through. So the big five get through, the winner of the host country gets through from the year before. So there's kind of automatically there already, and then whoever gets through from the semis.
Indeed. So having had your eye on what's going on out there already, any countries caught your eye so far?
Yeah, there's from the semi-finals on Tuesday, there's some really great stuff coming through. So Estonia got through, which was really amazing to see, like visually stunning. But it was a pop opera song, and we haven't seen anything like that since Italy kind of rejoined after a leave of absence. So that was great to see. But we also kind of saw the big two in that semi, which was Cyprus and Israel, and they are the bookies' favourites to win. So they both gave really, really strong performances.
I mean, do you think they do have a chance then?
Yeah, I think people have been talking about Israel for quite a long time. You know, it's the chicken song. Now, Ivan's there doing the little chicken dance next to me.
We do actually have that up after the interview. Yeah. We'll be playing the song called Toy.
Yeah, so a lot of people have been talking about that. And, you know, the video is really out there. They put a pop video with it beforehand, so people have been able to see that. you know, there was some question about how that would translate to on stage and whether that would come across. I think it did quite well. But Cyprus is the new kind of front runner coming through there. And yeah. That performance was just incredible. I've not seen a Eurovision style kind of classic, everything you would think of, you know, flames, camp outfits, dance routines, everything. It was all in there.
You
the
see,
whole
I'm,
package.
I'm liking this because you mentioned flames. That's yeah. got me, you've got my interest already. Flames. Oh,
the pyros.
The
yeah.
pyros. Well, I do, and I've always watched it from home. I've never been fortunate to go out there and basically been able to afford it. But I watch it at home, and I kind of sit there. Some people, you know, oh, we've seen a long flowing dress, or we've seen we've had a ballad and ticking it off on the list. I'm there saying, have we had a waterfall yet? Yes, tick. Yeah. And we've had some smoke. Yes, we've had some smoke. And my colleague, it's very sad, we play pyro bingo.
So yeah. Is this why you choose your job? Is this part of your childhood coming through? Sorry.
Possibly. Does anyone else play the bingo thing? Does anyone play bingo? People sit at home and play bingo. First country to have an outlandish costume or to use masks and things like that.
No, I can't say I've ever done that.
Oh,
no.
Okay, I don't know. How do you cope with it? How do you enjoy it if you're watching it at home, Darren?
So when I'm here for it, I have a house party really and just have friends over, and we do the score sheets and we get everyone. It's fun, but we have to take it seriously and. You know, we do all the scoring and then we kind of bring that together and we do our own kind of winner's score from our house party and we see how that compares. And, you know, we don't do kind of the bingo, but we do shots. So it's kind of, you know, when something predictable does come up, you know, we kind of take a shot.
Well,
or
that's a kind of equivalent,
yeah,
suppose,
it is,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, do drink responsibly.
Indeed. Ivan.
Speaking of taking a punt, we popped a picture up of Darren with his flashy thing on, which actually isn't flashing in the picture. So apologies for that. But we've had a response already from Mark. Keppel, and he's saying he wants you to pick a winner, Darren.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm gonna have to put it on Cyprus, I think. I was so impressed with their performance on Tuesday. So if they kind of do anything like that on Saturday, I think we'll be seeing them very high.
Steffi?
It's broadcast around the world. Is it actually broadcast in every country of the world?
I think more and more people are picking it up. So the whole thing about Eurovision is that it's part of the Europe Broadcasting Network, and that's, you have to be a member of that to be able to enter Eurovision. So that's why Australia's in it. And I think last year, oh no, so 2016, Justin Timberlake came and performed.
He did,
in Sweden,
yeah.
And that's because. America had just started to pick up Eurovision and they were starting to screen it. So it's quite interesting to see that happen. So I don't know whether they're going to start thinking about joining in.
It's actually been broadcast across China.
Yes.
Have you seen that they're actually blocking out anything rainbow?
So I was just about to say. So yeah, China have a broadcasting Eurovision as well. But there were people have been tweeting today that anything rainbow, any of the rainbow flags, which obviously there are a lot of at Eurovision, have all been blurred out. And they also then didn't broadcast two of the performances. So Ireland, who performed on Tuesday, I'll try and say his name now, Ryan O'Shaughnessy, his performance was incredible, and people might recognise him from X Factor, but he had two male dancers performing behind him, and you know, it's very touching and moving, and it's about them being together. So they didn't broadcast that in China. Oh. So that got cut. And they also didn't broadcast another country actually, who had tattoos on show. So that got cut as well. I'm going to say it was Belgium, but I'm not 100% sure whether it was. But one of them, yeah. So they're not allowed to show tattoos on television either over there. So they were cut out.
Wow. Just talking about the live event, because we only see a very small snapshot of actually what is going on there. We see the polished end live performance. But as I understand it, if you go along, you can take part in some of the rehearsals, can't you?
Yeah, so... Yeah, we only see the final, and actually then even some of that, you know, while they're kind of doing all the talking and stuff, there's stuff going on.
Stage management going, I suppose.
But yeah, so there's been all the rehearsals going through, and so if you can't, you know, if you can't afford a ticket to the final, you can get, a cheaper ticket to go and see the rehearsals and see some of the performances going on there, and obviously the rehearsals are a really good indicator of how the performance is going to be, so all the press go along to that and to see what's going on.
I think that'd be interesting, because I'm a bit of a techie like all that kind of stuff going behind the scenes, camera rehearsals and things moving around on stage. So it is a huge spectacle. What's the sound like in there? Is it just really loud? Is it echoey? I always wonder whether you get better sound quality in here more clearly on the telly.
It's quite interesting, isn't it? But you know, it's like seeing Glastonbury, for example, watching it on the television. You get to see a really close up of the stage and everything that's going on. You get all the perfect sounds from your television. But actually, you can't beat the atmosphere. You know, you're in there with thousands and thousands of other people. You know, all the fans there, and it's a real mix. So you kind of, I remember in 2011, I went to Dusseldorf to see Eurovision there, and we were kind of in a block of loads of locals there, and they were like, you know, they were upset that we were cheering for all the other countries. They were like very much like, we're just going to sit and watch this. But of course, as soon as Germany came on, they were up there going crazy. We're like, sure, just be quiet. It's really good fun, and everyone really gets involved in it. And I think even if you've got a seat up in the gods, you know, you can still hear it really well, and you can still see the performances.
Yeah. I was just talking to Tara a bit earlier. We were talking about Australia, because it was only... I struggle with it. The question comes up at home, and watching it, why are Australia in it?
I think I just touched on that earlier. It's about being part of the Eurovision Broadcasting Syndicate Network. So if you join that broadcasting network,
and you don't have to be a European country to join that.
You don't have to be a Eurovision.
Does this help with payment as well? You know, do they actually fund? You know, is it the hosting nation have to fund part of it? I guess
yes.
A major chunk of it.
Yeah. So that's why we've kind of seen. You know, if we look at Ireland, for example. They've won it a number of 7 times, and then they actually stopped putting people forward. They took a break for a while because they couldn't afford to host it again. So they certainly did. They sent Dustin the Turkey, who really was a turkey of a turkey of a song, because they just didn't want to win it again because they couldn't afford to host it. So
it's gonna be a huge impact on your national.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is, obviously, if Australia do win, they can't host it. So it's kind of in.
Oh, right.
You know, it does.
Do we have to get a surrogate country?
So they have
or something?
To get a surrogate country to host it.
Well,
so
you never know.
If Australia win, we might host it. Yes.
Finally, Finland. Extraordinary song, Sara Aalto. We saw her last year at Pride. In fact, I even spoke to her on Shout Out. She's singing in no less than 34 languages.
Pretty incredible, isn't it? Yeah. And you know, Finland hasn't made it through to the finals for a few times, so it's really great to see that it got through. So that has gone through from Tuesday, and her performance is just really, really good. Yeah, it's kind of, you know, I've kind of watched it, and I kind of was rooting for her because she performed at Pride, and you know, she's so lovely.
She's
a really nice person anyway, so I was like, you know, she really wants to go through. She's tried to represent for Finland a couple of years ago. It's really nice to see. But yeah, very impressive, you know, just the number of languages, being able to even speak those number of languages, but yet alone sing it.
I was doing a bit of research, and she's a bit of a language aficionado. Mm. Apparently it's not the first time she has sung in many languages, because she did a version of Let It Go from Frozen, Disney film, in 15 languages.
Yes, yeah, so, she did the voiceovers.
It's kind of her thing, really. I'll take my hat off to her. I can just only speak 2 languages anyway. There we go. So we mentioned it a little bit earlier, Toy, the song from Israel. We're going to play that up next. I take you're going to be dashing out of here.
Well, I might stick around for a little bit, but we've kind of got the semi-final number 2 on BBC 4 tonight, so it's really looking forward to seeing that. And you know, we've got Norway, Sweden and Malta as the big ones to look out for tonight, and see if they go through.
Well, Darren, as ever, it's been an absolute pleasure hearing your take on Eurovision. And great to be able to talk to somebody that's actually been to the event, I think, because it's second guess.
Yeah, can't be cheap either. Sorry, it's just Scottish, isn't it? But yeah, one of my friends, he goes every year. Yeah, travels from Scotland every year to there.
Amazing.
Makes a whole fortnight of it.
You do see big groups sort of there. They almost look like stag parties. They're not stag parties, clearly. It's organised. Well, maybe there are stag parties. I shouldn't make that sweeping generalisation. Darren, thank you so much. No doubt we'll be talking to you a little bit later in the year as we get closer and closer to Pride. But thank you for sharing your take on Eurovision with us.
Thank you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Now, if you are listening to that and hearing chicken sounds, it was actually a chicken sound. Well, Ivan seemed to think it was a chicken. Do not adjust your sets. Darren, is it actually a chicken?
Yeah, yeah. So it has been dubbed the chicken song, and when you see it on the vinyls on Saturday, she, you know, all her dancer, backing dancers, and her are doing chicken moves, and it's kind of a good gimmick that all the audience have gotten behind. So, you know, when the camera pans around, everyone will be doing the chicken.
Oh yeah. Right, okay. So the song's called "Toy." It's by Netta, and it's one of the songs tipped to win Eurovision, and it's the one from Israel. Ivan is standing by with our news. Oh, not that one. I don't want to press that. I'll press the news button. There we go.
This is Shoutout News on Thursday, the 10th of May. Channel 4's series Genderquake, which focuses on 11 strangers of different identities and sexualities spending a week together, has attracted yet more controversy. Following an earlier deliberate outing of one of the housemates, Romario Wantless, as transgender by another participant, Genderquake, the debate, which aired on Tuesday, has been criticised as a transphobic shouting match. The trans panellists in the debate were heckled throughout the debate, with some audience members being told by a Channel 4 floor manager beforehand that they should clap, cheer, sigh and hiss. The debate, which featured trans activist panellists Caitlyn Jenner and Munro Bergdorf, was originally described as an opportunity to explore what gender identity is and even if it matters in a modern society, but instead focused on the use of bathrooms by trans people and changes to the Gender Recognition Act. Munro Bergdorf said on Twitter that they were both subjected to transphobic heckling from TERF feminists calling them men and having the word penis shouted at them over and over again during the one-hour live debate. Channel 4 security allegedly did not intervene to remove the audience member responsible. It's been a quarter of a century since Julian Clary made his now famous remark at the Television Comedy Awards, indicating that he'd had rather so-called dirty sex with the then Chancellor of the Exchequer. For a while, he was dropped by a lot of production companies, but you cannot keep a good queer comic down. And today, Mr. Clary is very much part of the humour establishment in the UK. He has a new show as well at BBC Radio 2's Censored, goes out on Monday nights at 10 p.m. and involves celebrity contestants guessing on the meaning of a news article which has had keywords bleeped out. Carey's camp humour takes centre stage to guide listeners through the show. The RNIB, the country's largest sight loss and blind persons charity, has added a gender fluid and non-binary option in its forms and online registration to better facilitate its services reaching all people with sight impairment or loss. To mark the event, the RNIB radio station called Connect Radio, which airs nationally on Freeview Channel 730, aired an in-depth interview with a blind non-binary person addressing some of the issues that present themselves in the blind world for gender fluid people. Sam FM in Bristol has reported that a new survey by market researchers has revealed that men called Liam are amongst the sexiest and most desirable in the land. Gay presenter and friend of Shoutout DJ Downsy suggested that amongst the hunky reasons for the desirability of the name include actor Liam Hemsworth, who previously won Most Attractive Male in 2016 in Gay Magazine Attitude, and Liam from boy band One Direction. Now, there are just 2 weeks to go before this year's Mr. International Leather in Chicago. The event marks its 40th anniversary, and 16,000 leather and other fetish people from around the globe are expected to come and join the celebrations. Organisers say it's not only a contest weekend, though, as there'll be the infamous leather vendor market, hands-on demos and classes, social events and dance parties all weekend. Visit imrl.com for details. But do note that not all of this website is safe for work. Elliott Management, the hedge fund run by New York-based liberal Republican Paul Singer, has bought Waterstones bookstore chain from the Russian billionaire who had previously owned it. Mr. Singer is believed to have bought the chain for in the region of £200 million, according to The Observer. A very private man, Mr. Singer did make a foray into politics into 2011 to back the campaign for marriage equality in New York State. His son is gay, and Mr. Singer's support for the Republican Party is definitely for the more liberal liberal centrist wing that supports equal rights for all Americans. And finally, the spring issue of the Bristol Cable is available now, both online and free from community centres, libraries and bookstores across the greater Bristol area. It's the latest in a long tradition of alternative newspapers for the city, covering its political and activist side. In the current issue is a for and against pair of essays on the subject of strip clubs in the city, a topic which divides the feminist movement right down the middle between what are known as PC sex feminists and sex positive feminists. Kate Gerald debates with the Bristol Sex Workers Collective. For these news stories and more, check out our excellent website at shoutoutradio.lgbt. For Shoutout News, this has been Ivan Jackson. Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Okay, I'm just looking around the studio. Any guesses as to which country this track is from?
Do you know what? I could hear that sort of Roma-style violin playing going on, so I'm going to guess Romania.
You're going east, okay?
I'm going east.
Steffi?
Yeah.
I was thinking it's a shame the states aren't in because that sounds very country.
It does, doesn't it? You're right. Yeah. Okay. Or Phil was Lyons dancing around outside? No,
he was actually. He was doing a jig.
We got into trouble last time we referenced.
He nearly broke a leg. He fell over.
Music. Country style. Okay. Tara,
I don't know what country that is.
Oh. Yeah, no.
Country style. Country. The man who the expert is in. It was called Fairy Tale by Alexander Rybak, and it's from.
Norway. That was our winner in 2009.
Yeah,
and
2009.
And actually, Alexander is back. So he'll be performing again for Norway tonight.
They're allowed to do that, aren't they? Didn't Jedward do that for Ireland? Didn't they come back?
Yes. Yeah. And infamously, Johnny Logan as well, winning for Ireland consecutively.
Yeah. It's always Ireland, isn't it? Yeah. It's always Ireland doing things.
Safe bet, isn't it?
A safe bet, yeah. Mm. I'm going to go back in time because we've got... This one.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That is Love, Shine a Light. Katrina and the Waves, that was our entry a few years ago. I'm trying to be chewing him out of the studio, but he's still here. Darren, can you remember when that was?
I'm going to say it was 1997, and we hosted 98 in Birmingham that year, and Dana International won, so yeah.
Yeah, amazing stuff. Now, you've been giving us your take on Eurovision all through the show tonight. We've really appreciated that. But you did give a little hint as to your favourite one for this year.
Yeah.
Which
was Cyprus. But you never know. Who knows who the fans are going to vote for?
Okay. It's a song called Fuego, so it's sparked my interest already, because it's fire. So, Darren Carter, thank you very much for joining us tonight. We've really enjoyed your contributions, and we will definitely catch up with you again soon.
The Shout Out Podcast.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out. LGBT radio for you.
So that voice keeps coming back. It's not me talking at myself without moving my lips. I should also mention, if you're new to the show, you can find us on social media as well. We exist on Twitter. Ivan's been tweeting some photos from tonight's show. You can find us there. It's at shoutout_radio. And if Facebook is your preferred medium, then we just look for Shoutout LGBT Radio. Shoutout LGBT Radio, and you can find us there. Don't forget to like our page as well. Now, we've just got a bit of time to cover a few things. And Tara, you've got some information. Oh, my goodness. Ooh,
yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah,
makes
absolutely.
Me jump.
So I've been asked by Bristol Mind just to put a shout out for any people that identify as trans, so that's genderqueer or anything, who are interested in coming on and helping out on the Trans Mindline service. Now, you don't just get thrown a phone. You actually get 6 weeks of 6 days of worth of training, and it is thoroughly brilliant.
And this is the helpline, isn't it?
This is the helpline. So you're committing to doing once a fortnight on a Monday evening. And the service is a national service that covers the whole of the UK.
I imagine that's really rewarding. To feel that you're there to help people.
Yeah, so they get lots of calls from people that are in really desperate situations. Yeah. And the call might be the difference between, life and death sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Ivan.
That's all right. Just, can you just remind us what the phone number is? Am I putting you on the spot there,
Tara? You're putting me on the spot. Sorry.
Maybe we'll get it up before the end of the show.
If you go to Bristol Mindline, you can find all the details of all the LGBTQ stuff that is. They also do counselling services for LGBTQ with LGBTQ therapists, which is quite unique in probably the UK, actually, especially in Bristol. So that's available as well.
Thank you for that. Okay, now we can't finish the show and not focus some attention on the Genderquake debate. You heard Ivan mention it in the news. Channel 4 hosted a televised debate about gender early in the week, but part of it included a debate which, quite frankly, the bits I saw descended into absolute chaos. And I just wanted to get people's take on that.
Yeah, should we start on the actual two-part series?
Please do. It
was very similar to, I thought, of like a take on Big Brother.
Yeah.
The most upsetting thing, I think, is when the drag queen gay guy outed the trans man in the group. So they had a couple of straight people, didn't they? They had a straight guy and a straight woman. And the straight woman and the trans man were getting quite friendly, and they were liking each other a lot. But then this trans man was outed by this gay guy.
Defeats the object of that whole show, really, because the premise of the show actually was to be talking about gender, and you know, it sounds like that their starting point was way below where it should be. The starting point should have been like, you know, let's talk about our identities, not let's try and justify our identity. That shouldn't have been an issue in that show
at all.
That's
a bit I struggle with. Yeah,
but of course, it went on then to the debate, which you saw on TV.
I watched some of it. My friend is also trans, refused to watch most of it, so we had to turn it off. Actually, she was so upset about it. The thing is that the people that you would normally see there weren't in there, so it was a really strange mix as well.
A lot of people refused to take part, and there's rumours that the audience were actually paid expenses to attend as well. Lots of things going on there that weren't right.
Indeed. Well, sadly, that's it for this week. Thank you for your contributions. Remember, if you would like your very own 5 minutes on air, then get in touch with us and send us your My 5 recording.
Yes, you can contact us online with shoutoutradio.lgbt, which is also where you will find us for podcasts and information about tonight's show.
Next week, Andy's back and we'll be talking to Bristol's LGBT plus group. But for now, from me and the rest of the team here, it's time to say goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.